A nyakát
yeah. kitörni. No, how to break a child's will without breaking his spirit.
Hogyan törjük meg egy gyermek akaratát, anélkül, hogy a szellemét megtörnénk.
Good question. If you are a teacher, or if you are a parent, then you will find this information very interesting. If you are an uncle, or an aunt, or a brother, or a sister, then maybe this will help you also, depending on the age of the people that you are dealing with. Okay, and let me try to find what I'm doing here, just a minute. I periodically get lost in life.
Időként elveszek az élet tengerén. Halljátok, amit mondunk?
Oh, I love that sense of humor. Okay, let's go. Let's have a prayer, okay? Lord, we just give you this class tonight in Jesus' name. And we thank you that we can know your will. Thank you, Father. Thank you for the responsibility of raising children. And the great rewards. We thank you for that and praise you tonight. And in Jesus Christ's name, amen. Okay, so there was a book written called The Strong-Willed Child. A lot of parents bought that book. And a lot of parents think that they have the strong-willed child. But it should be no surprise to anybody here that many children are strong-willed. In other words, they don't want to do what their parents want them to do. Okay, now I'm going to give some examples of strong-willed children.
Az erős akaratú gyermekekről.
Balázs. Attila. And Fekete Zsuzsa.
Fekete Zsuzsa.
Three, when they were children, strong-willed children. And Fekete Zsuzsa is the only one that has a child. And now she's reaping what
she
No, I'm just kidding. Chuck Witzwald. Okay, no, that was all just a joke. I was kidding. There is a man who I went to his house, and if you know who this is, please do not say the name. And there, in the parents' bedroom, there is a little bed right next to their bed. It's a mattress right on the floor. I said, why do you have a mattress on the floor right there? Oh, well, that's for my son. Well, there's a bedroom right there. Why doesn't he sleep in the bedroom? Oh, he refuses. He refuses to sleep in his bedroom. So this is where he has to sleep. Now there's something wrong with that picture. How old is your son? 3. 3 years old. Big, strong 3-year-old child. And the child is telling the two parents what he's going to do. And he accepts no other answers except yes. Okay, so another one. A man came to me and he said, well, I can't go to services. Why?
Miért?
Well, because my child refuses to let me leave him at the nursery.
Mert a gyermekem nem engedi, hogy ott hagyjam a gyermeknegyőrzőben.
How old is your child?
Hány éves a gyermeked?
2.
2 éves.
There is something wrong here.
Van valami baj.
Your child refuses to let you go to church. I mean, you've been fighting the devil for 10 years to get to church every church service. Now a 2-year-old enters your life and all of a sudden you're overpowered. I don't understand that. Well, I have a strong-willed child. Well, that's what we're going to talk about tonight. How do we make that little kid do what we want without hurting him too badly? And I believe we can do it without any physical pain, without physical suffering. Okay, so the question is, can I break my child's will without breaking his spirit? And Proverbs 18:14 says the spirit of a man will sustain his infirmity, but a wounded spirit who can bear? A wounded spirit. Let's take a look at what the difference is between the will and the spirit. What is the will is one of the 5 parts of the soul. Right, the self-consciousness, the conscience, the emotions, the volition, and the mind or the mentality. And we've also at times added the ego. But in any case, these are the parts of the soul. And the emotions, I mean, the volition is just one of them. So here's sort of how it works. You have the will, it is like a switch that produces behavior. It is motivated and activated through the mind and the emotions. And most people, unfortunately, the emotions blow the mind, and this is a My Ship Sails. Okay, we have the will, the mind, and we have the emotions. Right. The emotions blow the mind moves the will, and you get behavior. The spirit. This is the body. This is the soul.
Which is the body?
The behavior. And this is the spirit. And the spirit and soul are different. And this is why we can break the will without breaking their spirit. But it requires that we build them up spiritually. At the same time, we are breaking their will. And some children react differently to having their wills broken.
És néhány gyerek nagyon nehezen reagál arra, amikor törik az akaratát.
And we'll talk about those different reactions. You don't know what's going to happen when you start this war.
That's tudjuk, hogy mi fog történni, amikor nekiáll.
This is why you got to you started early. Some well, we won't go into that yet. Okay. So we Psalm 143:10 is a beautiful psalm. Okay, and this psalm says, "Teach me to do your will, for you are my God. Your spirit is good. Lead me into the land of uprightness." That is a mature person. That's not like a child. Right? But a mature person says, "Direct my will in your will." Okay, and the training of a child is what brings them to adulthood. There's this verse that we use all the time. Proverbs 22, verse 6. "Train up a child in the way that he should go, and when he is old, he will not depart from it." And we always use this to say, we link this with Ephesians 6:4, that we would not provoke them to anger. "Fathers, provoke not your children, but nurture, but train them in the nurture and admonition of the Lord." Okay, so you put those two together, and you have the success as a parent. Okay, but Proverbs 22:6 also has a negative way. "If I allow my child to go the way he will go, then when he is old, he will not depart from going his own way." Right, and he will be a selfish, self-motivating kind of person who could be useful, but never humble, because his will has never been broken. Remember the definition for meekness. Anybody remember that definition? We said that meekness isn't weakness. And we talked about the horse. Strongest horse in the world can be meek. Yeah, easy to be led. Right. So meekness is basically being able to submit my will to whatever God wants to do. And that includes every situation that I cannot control. We tend not to think that that's God's will. But when you think that everything that happens according to God's will, then I need to be able to submit myself to every situation. And that is meekness. Okay, so this is our goal then, that we would break the will to cause the child to be meek. All right, to cause him to be meek. And that's what we're going to look at. So 1 Corinthians 2:11 says that what man knows the things of a man except the spirit of the man? Even so the things of God knoweth no man but the spirit of God. And we could say this about the Spirit.
És mondhatjuk ezt a szellemről.
The Spirit relates to, to who I am. Okay, it is deeper than what I do and what I know and what I feel. It is spiritual. And when Moses said, "Who are you, God?" God said, "I am."
És amikor Mózes azt mondta, Istenem, ki vagy? Akkor Mózes azt mondta, vagyok,
ki vagyok. In Exodus 3:14, and Jesus said that God is spirit.
Másik Mózes 3:14-ben Jézus pedig azt mondta, hogy Isten szellem.
Okay, so the spirit of a man is actually who he is. Who he is. Not what he does. Not how he acts. In other words, the breaking of his will has nothing to do with his spirit. And that's why where parents get in so much trouble. They say, "You are lazy." And they have said a spiritual thing. And actually, laziness is not something that somebody is.
Pedig a lustaság nem valami, aki személy.
Right, but instead, the parent should say, "You are my child.
De az én gyerekem vagy.
You are in my family forever. You are precious to me. You are amazing. You are beautiful. You are valuable. You are important. You are so secure with me. You are. Those are spiritual statements. And if those statements are made, and the child knows he is unconditionally loved, then you can never break his spirit with a stick. You can't break his spirit. You can break his will, but you can't break his spirit if he knows who he is. But if he doesn't know who he is, then you can destroy his soul. Because he's trying to be somebody through the soul. And this is a beautiful thought. It is not a child's task to try to be somebody. He already is somebody. That is amazing. But how many parents try to get their children to be somebody? And they try to do it with the production of the soul. Which is actually the definition of personality. Personality is the production of the soul. Or a projection of the soul. Okay, so the spirit is that part that is their essence to who they are. Okay, we have this in satanic evil. 1 John 2 says that we have these, the lust of the flesh, the lust of the eyes, and the pride of life. This relates to the three parts of man. And pride is spiritual. Pride is a spiritual thing. And it is trying to exalt myself based upon what I can produce in my soul. And it proves that the spirit is either dead or is empty. If they are a believer, then they don't know who they are. Why would anybody try to exalt themselves if they're already seated with Christ in the heavenlies? Why would somebody try to prove that they're important when Jesus already said that you're accepted in the Beloved? Of course, an unbeliever has no choice because he has no spiritual life. He is empty in his spirit. And therefore, everything relates to his soul. Even in James chapter 3, there is the wisdom that is from below. Earthly, soulish, and then demonic. And this relates to the body, to the soul, and to the spirit. Because Satan attacks the spirit. And if you look at spirituality outside of Christ, like mysticism and it all relates to who I can be. Who I can be. How much power I can have. How high I can be. Okay, so the Spirit then, in 1 Corinthians 13 and also Ephesians 4:16, and many scriptures. But the point is that the Spirit is edified by love. Okay, that's how the Spirit is built up. Unconditional love. And this is what Jesus said to Peter. Feed my lambs. Feed my sheep. Feed my lambs. And that's what God wants parents to do. Feed my lambs. Feed my sheep. Feed my lambs. And we feed them by unconditional love. And which means that love is the foundation. Love is the motivation for me to break their will. Now, let's just, now these two verses that are so important to us is that stuff's hard to take off, huh? Man, these pens are cheap. The ones we have in our office are much better than these. We got to remember, get rid of them. Look at that, man, these are bad. Whoever invented this. This guy was a sadist or something. I'm not here for physical exercise. Oh, wow. Makes you really want to think twice before you write on the board. Okay, good. Wow. That's okay. Okay. These two verses, which we have covered before, but we'll look at them in a different light. 3:21 and Ephesians, and Ephesians 6:4. Provoke not your children. This is a very important point about before we can talk about breaking their will. To provoke your children, this means that will is arbitrary. Right, this is like an unjust father. So that there's never any real clear idea of exactly what this king wants. King.
Soha nincs teljesen világos elképzelés arról, hogy mi is akarja.
He just wants you to do what he tells you, no matter where you are, what you're doing.
Csak azt akar, hogy azt csináld, amit mond neked, azt se számít, hol vagy, mit csinál, csak csináld, amit mond.
Okay, and this provokes a child.
És ez ingerli a gyermeket.
Because it's always a battle of wills.
Mert akkor itt mindig az akarat csatározás.
And it works fine.
És rendben működik el.
When he is small or she is small.
Amikor egy gyermek kicsi.
And you can have power over them, physical power. But when it goes the other way, you don't want your teenage son stepping in your face and saying, "Dad, do you want to fight me?" I mean, you don't want, not because you're afraid of him.
Nem azért, mert félsz tőle.
Because you don't want to beat the hell out of your son, that's
nem
all.
Azért, mert nem akarod jól halálra vágni a gyerekedet.
Because probably
mert valószínűleg
he's going to want to fight you before he can beat you.
Már azelőtt akar verekedni veled, mielőtt képes lenne legyőzni.
And then yeah, I'll show you, and you go in, you can beat your kid up.
You know?
And then your son's afraid. But he is angry. And he will get back at you. And that's not a real relationship, of course. So we can, the provocation, it's like drawing a line. I mean, a child is running full speed, you know. And then you quick draw a line and say, don't go over the line. You know, he's like, oops. To go over the line. No. This is like parents do this all the time. They draw lines that they know their children are gonna. And that is it's this is not the purpose here. Because you're not breaking the will. You are provoking them to anger. And there's nothing worse than an angry 14-year-old girl. There's nothing worse. Because they are smart and they know how to mess with your mind. And it's no fun in the house after that. You got 3 years of minimum of real trouble. But when they are young, we want to train them. And this is what the word nurture means. It means to train them or educate them. All of education this word. It's a cultivation of mind and morals. And it employs for the purpose of education, it uses commands and reproofs and even chastisement. Okay, and then then you have the nurture and admonition of the Lord. An admonition means chastisement or chastening. And it means the parent is responsible to bring trouble into the kid's life. When the child is on the wrong path. And a child who's doing his own will. Bless you. When a child is on their own path, and they sense this strength, they no longer have to eat what they want. I don't have to go to bed when I'm told. I don't have to do anything. They are on a path that will destroy them because they're living in a false world. And life is going to hit them so hard. One day, they're going to have troubles. And if they ever get married, God bless the person that they marry. if he's always had his own way. Okay. So now here we go. Five things. First, we're going to be general, and then get into maybe some practical things. Okay. Point number one. Five things. Point number one. Take your position of authority. That's very simple. Who is telling who what to do here? It's simple. I am telling you what to do. That's it. If I want you to do it, then you're going to do it. And the amazing thing is, children don't know that they have a choice when they're real small. And that's an amazing thing. I was amazed that every time I said, no, go to your bedroom and you stay there for 1 hour and I'll be in and talk to you. That they went. I was like, thank God. I didn't know what I was going to do if they didn't. It's like, this kid doesn't even know how free he is. But it's very good. You take the position. You know, we have it the same thing here in church. Here's the elders in the church, right? This little kid is screaming and throwing things. And the elder says, excuse me, would you please stop doing that? And the child says, hey, shut up or something. You know? And the elder walks away. Who's stronger? The child. Why? Because the elder didn't take the position of authority. It's because when a kid is small, you are God. You have the place of God. And he lives under the law. And we try to say, well, I am gracious with my child. We'll talk about that later. Number one, take the position of authority. You're going to sleep in your bed. Because you're not sleeping anywhere else. Any questions? And when they're small, a little tap on the seat of correction. Not bruises. But the rod of correction was a flexible little, and it was just a little sting, and they understand completely that they're not in the control here. And you would think, I'm going to be beating my child his whole life. You know, it's not true. Because when you break a child's will, it's broken. And it applies to all of life. It's worth the battle when they're young. Oh, well, he doesn't want to eat his peas. Well, he doesn't want to go. He doesn't want it. How old is he? 2 years old. Wow. You are creating a monster. And when he is old, he will not depart from it. And I don't want to be in your house when he's a teenager. Most parents, they put up the white flag. And And the teenagers run the house.
És a tínédzserek irányítják a házat.
Because they created the monsters when they were little.
Mert amikor kicsik voltak,
akkor
létrehozták a szülők a szörnyeteget, és most már nincs választás.
I mean, these teenagers have more energy.
Tínédzserek
they're big, they're strong.
Erősebb.
I can't keep track of them. It's like,
nem is tudom ellenőrizni, hol van, merre, mit csinálok.
I surrender. Just do what you want, but just give me peace in my house.
No,
that is that's not where we want to end up. You go into the child's room, 13 years old, you know, he's got pictures of demonic creatures and rock and roll stars, and the music being played is like from hellfire. I just saw that in Eurosport. They're selling music from the 80s. This is the song they chose for the I am the God of Hellfire. And of course, those of us who grew up in the 80s, we know what music that. You know what? These walls belong to me. And the air in my house belongs to me. And I don't want to hear any music that I don't like. Because I'm the boss. It's a very simple concept. Okay. Number two. Do what is right.
Tedd azt, ami helyes
for your walk with God.
A te Istennel való járásodban, vagy ért.
Because your children will receive your spiritual health.
Mert a gyermekeid a te szellemi egészségedet fogják
kapni. Don't worry, they'll get their sleep.
Ne aggódj, majd kialudják magukat.
Just do what you got to do to have a life with God.
Csináld, amit tenned kell, az, hogy Istennel legyen életed.
And of course, I don't mean to not be responsible and all that. But if you have a little kid saying, keeping you at home, there's a problem there. The parents say, well, only one of us can go to church because our child refuses to go. And that's not an option. Go. We're going. And the child finds out he's not the boss. That's a great thing for a child to learn as early as possible. He already knows it. But they test it all the time. I mean, can you imagine a 6-month-old child being manipulative and self-centered? Can you imagine that? That's what they are. That's the definition of their lives. Right? That's every cry is just as self-serving. Now, of course, the parents care, and when they're teething, it hurts. But do what's best for your walk with God. And bring them along. Instead of the opposite. Doing what they think is best for them. Because they will receive your spiritual life. Because remember, the Spirit is the issue. And if you're not built up spiritually, then you will destroy their spirit because of demanding behavior or something and living in works in a work system. Okay, now, the Lord has made you the head, not the tail. Right, Deuteronomy 28:13. The parents are the head,
a szülők a feje,
not the tail.
Nem a farkas.
We are not dragged around by our three-year-old.
Nem a három éves fog minket rángatni oda.
Okay. It's not the way it's supposed to go.
Nem így kellene megtörténnie.
Okay. Number three.
Harmadik pont.
Now we're getting into the real issue here.
Itt a tényleges,
be mature.
Az, hogy légy
érett. Okay. One, take authority.
Tehát az első az az volt, hogy a tekintély ragad meg.
I always suggest to you that
mindig azt javasolnám,
if you're married, read books on marriage.
Hogyha házas vagy, olvasd könyveket a házasságról.
If you're a parent, read books on parenting.
Ha szülő vagy, olvasd könyveket a szülői nevelésről, a gyereknevelésről.
People say, well, I'm not a parent. I mean, I don't feel like a parent.
Az emberek azt mondják, hogy nem vagyok szülő, nem érzem.
I don't know what to do.
Nem tudom, mit csinálja.
Well, that child makes you a parent, so.
Hogyha gyereked van, attól már szülő vagy.
So include yourself in the category.
Úgyhogy foglald magad be ebbe a kategóriába.
I always wondered, God, why did you give me children? It's impossible. I feel like I'm younger than they are.
Mindig azt mondja, Isten, miért adtál nekem gyerekeket? Úgy érzem, hogy fiatalabb vagyok nála.
And it was very clear.
És nagyon világos.
He said, you're not.
Azt mondta, Isten, nem így van.
You are a parent.
Szülő vagy.
Okay, so take authority. Okay, act in your own best interest, and this is in the context of the class.
Érdekeid.
And this is in the spirit of, you know, on an airplane. If you've ever been on an airplane, they always say, in the case of an oxygen failure, the oxygen mask will come out of the ceiling. Make sure your oxygen mask is in place before you put it on your child. Right? And this is what we're talking about. Make sure your oxygen mask is in place before the child. I mean, otherwise, you put the oxygen mask on your son. And you're like, you know, and the child is like, it's better if you're alive. Better for the child if you're alive. So it's better spiritually also. Point three, be mature. No. This is the third point. Yeah, the third was Deuteronomy, but that was the head and the tail. That was part of second.
Tehát a négy fej nem farok, az a saját érdekeidet szem előtt tartott cselekedet egy része, jó? Tehát 5 Mózes 28:13.
Be mature.
Légy érett.
What's that mean?
Ez mit jelent?
That means when your children are not happy with you,
ez azt jelenti, hogy amikor a gyerekeid nem elégedettek veled,
don't take it personally. They're only 2 years old. When a two-year-old insults you, it's not supposed to hurt your feelings. Our teachers get all upset, you know, because a five-year-old doesn't like them. It's like, be mature. Five-year-olds don't know who they like. Okay, like, don't take it personally. You do not need your child's approval.
Okay.
Because if you're so sensitive, then you won't want your child to not like you. And one of the processes involved in breaking a child's will is that they will not like you. They could scream, cry, ignore you, get angry, and all kinds of manifestations in the three-dimensional world we live in. Don't take it personally. Be mature. They can't hurt your feelings, right? You're the parent. edified in Christ, you know what you're doing, and they don't like you. That's not your problem. Your job is not to have a mutual admiration society in your house. Okay, that. So be mature. Be strong in the grace of God. Let your spirit man be edified by your Father in heaven. Okay, you got to switch this, Joel? Okay, that's a good point. I hope we all understand that. You know what? So many people get hurt by teenagers. Because they look at you like, why don't you drop dead, you know? A teenager cannot hurt my feelings. I love them. I don't care what they do. I'm not waiting for them to clap. To say that I'm okay. I don't even care if they think I'm okay. I mean, I do in one sense, but in this sense, I do not care. It's not my problem if you don't like me. I'm doing this for your sake. And you would go, who knows what you would do. You know, so be mature. Number four is don't be sentimental. Okay, this is sort of, how do you spell sentimental. Okay, don't be sentimental. It's chasing your son while there is hope. Chasing your son while there is hope. And let not your soul spare for his crying. Crying children doesn't bother a parent. Because a lot of times they cry because they can't get their way. It's the crying of selfishness. It's the pain of having their will broken. And you can hear the difference. It's like playing football. You know when somebody's really hurt. But man, there's a lot of people. No! You know, they're rolling around on the ground. And nobody touched them. 2 minutes later, they jump up and they go running away. And you could have sworn they were going to call the ambulance. But it was not real. And children are masters of manipulation. And if you are sensitive to their crying, you are dead in the water. I mean, they got you. Oh no, she's crying. Please, help her. Yeah, she is suffering. Because she can't get what she wants. And wait till you go to the new West End Mall in Nugati. And your little child wants you to buy something. And there it happens, right there in the middle of the mall. You use that nasty word. No. And she goes, and everybody's watching, and you're saying, Jesus. This is what I always did in that situation. I said, you know what? I'm going to leave you here, and you can cry if you want, because I'm going shopping. But you can scream if you want to.
Okay.
I'm going to go shopping because I said no, and it's no. And I'm deaf. I don't even hear crying. And you find out they go, oh, and they. There's no art.
There's no compromise. We're not making peace treaties.
There are no peace treaties. I'm the king. I'm saying what's going to happen here. That's the way it's going to be. But sentimentality is afraid of their crying. Crying. The worst thing I could ever hear is crying. It isn't true. And if you look up crying and sorrow, most of the crying done in the Bible is because God was breaking people's wills. And he says, I cannot hear your crying. But when the will is broken, there's real sorrow. A parent knows that. And when the child is hurt, we are there in a moment because we know the cry of a hurt child. So it's not to be sentimental. Attached to this, we could say if there's a B part, it's don't be possessive. And let me explain that. Some parents think, oh, it's so beautiful, my little baby needs me. He doesn't want me to leave the nursery. I understand, because I'm so amazing. Of course he doesn't want me to leave. He needs me. It's like the reality is, he does not need you. And in fact, you're raising him so that he does not need you. The goal is that he goes on his own, not that he holds on to you and it's like a little baby. I'm sick. 30-year-old, 40-year-old man. Or my wife. Hello, Shelly. I'm sick. Could you take care of me? That is not who we're raising. We are raising men and women. Straight standing. Mature people. So be careful about this possessiveness. It's good that they can make it alone in the nursery. It's a good thing. Somebody else can take care of it. Now I have a story. When I was in Bible school, my wife tried to take a class in the morning while I was working. And this is when my son Brian was reigning in our house. That's when we read Strong-Willed Child. He refused to go to the nursery. And for 2 weeks, my wife put him in there, closed the door, and went to class. And she came back and he was still screaming. This was not an easy battle. And the nursery had to work with her, you know. Because my son was a problem every day, and they said it's okay, let's go. And for 10 days, and my wife finally said, if he cries next time, I'm not going to take class. I mean, it's hard for a parent to know your kid is a problem. Well, that's hard, but it's necessary, and that's what our nursery is for. We want to go through this process. It's impossible that we have a child that will not stay in the nursery. Just throw him in here and we'll take care of him. And I remember when I was in the nursery.
When you were?
Yeah, when I worked in the nursery.
And
I had these children who would scream the whole time. And I was the one who would take the screamer. Take him for a walk. Try to play a game.
You know,
tell him jokes. Play act. Superman, Batman. I mean, anything possible to try. And that's part of being a nursery worker. And anyway, the end of the story was that the next time he didn't cry. And then the battle was over. 10 days of the battle, though. It was quite a battle. And Brian lost. Yes! I didn't actually know the battle was going on. Okay, so those are some good general principles. Now, next part is, we have to agree with God on some things. Okay, when you look at your little, let's call this child Levente. Just because Agi is here. Okay, we have to agree with God. In Levente, there is something that is no good. Sin. In Levente, precious little Levente is a sinful man. It's not hard to notice that, actually. Sinful. And actually the sin that is in him is this which is selfishness is his enemy. In him there is an enemy. And when he's young, he has no control over the enemy. The enemy is ruling his heart. The child is merciless. I mean merciless. I remember my son. He used to, if anybody would ever steal one of his toys, there was no generosity at all. It was like, oh, okay, well, you use it for 5 minutes and then give it back, okay? It was just, wham, right there. give me the toy. And they thought that my son was very brutal. And I think he probably was brutal. And it was not, and it was just plain selfishness. Just selfishness. So we agree, selfishness is your child's worst enemy.
Okay.
You gotta agree with me on that. Because that is what God says. And that Paul said, Romans 7, 13, 18, and 23. He said that there's a law in me warring against my mind. Warring in selfishness in the heart of a child. And the Solomon said that foolishness is bound up in his heart. And correction drives it from him. And that correction is different at different times in their lives. What is this foolishness? The foolishness is that they are the king. That's the foolishness. It's like, hello, you are not the king. And I hope when you're 35 years old, you realize that you're not the king. And the Lord knocked Paul off his high horse. All of a sudden, Paul found out he was not the king. And then he realized there's something in him who is his enemy. Then Galatians 3:23-25. Agree with me on this. The law is for a child. Law. Rules. It's for children. They understand them. There was a study done. They had a group of children, and they put them in a big yard, very, very large, and the children played in little groups like this. When they were let free, you know. When they put up a fence around them, they filled the whole yard. Okay, and this is just an illustration. A child needs to know his boundaries. And in this area, his will is free. Go ahead, run where you want to. Okay, but this barrier, this is my love. And I placed it there because I love you. Not just arbitrarily, but things that really matter. And you will not go this way. That's it, you're not going. And I am convinced that this is God's will. Before faith came, we were kept under the law, shut up unto the faith which should afterwards be revealed. Unto the faith. This is Galatians 3:23. Verse 24. The law was our schoolmaster to bring us to Christ, that we might be justified by faith. But after faith has come, after the faith has come, we are no longer under a schoolmaster. That's an adult person. He's living before God with faith in Christ. And love is directing his life. But as a two-year-old or a three-year-old, this is not an adult person. They cannot be responsible. They are making decisions based on their own pleasure, and they cannot be allowed to rule in your house. So, then number three that we agree on, Hebrews 12:6, those who God loves, He chastens. And if we give them unconditional love, then they will not despise our chastening. And some people say that if you would spank your child, you would hurt him emotionally. That's not what hurts a child emotionally. It's just simple cause and effect. The child makes a decision, and we choose the consequence. Right? That's the parent's job. Choose the consequences. Should there be a consequence? Is this an important issue? Is this an area that I need to break his will? In any case, the child must have his will broken. where he would say,
amikor azt mondja,
not my will, Dad, but yours.
Papa, ne az én akaratom, hanem a
tiéd. And that's not an easy point.
Ez nem könnyű.
And at some point,
és egy bizonyos
we're going to say,
mi azt fogjuk mondani,
son, not my will, but God's.
Fiam, nem az én akaratom,
Isten. You walk before God. I'm not your boss. I'm your dad. We are equals. No, we are adult people. And this is the way my son is now in university. It's a very scary thing. But we've been preparing for it, but it's very scary. I have no control over his decisions. Lives in a university dormitory. And the, it goes girls' room, boys' room. A girl knocked on his door at 6 in the morning. Completely naked. Completely naked and said, can you help me? I got locked out of my room. And my son gave her some clothes. But that's, you know, and there he is in that world.
És itt van, ilyen világban.
And there's no one telling him what to do. Just whatever he has in his heart. And I thank God that his will was broken. Because now he knows how to say no to himself. And that's what we are training them for. To be able to say no to themselves because of the consequence. And this is Lamentations 3. We'll close with this. 25-27. The Lord is good to them that wait for Him, to the soul that seeks Him. It's good that a man should both hope and quietly wait for the salvation of the Lord. Verse 27, it's good for a man that he bears the yoke in his youth. It's good when he's young that he doesn't go his own way, but he goes God's way. And that's what we're talking about. And there's a lot of confusion because parents don't know which way to go. They don't know what they should listen to. They don't know what they should watch. They don't know who they should be with. They don't know what to think about the posters on the wall. They don't even know what they think. And so the child's will reigns. And the mother and father don't agree. Oh, this is point number 5. Is mom and dad agree? Mother and father agree. If you do not, then you will divide the child's heart. And his old sin nature will make hamburger out of your relationship. Children divide parents because parents are not one in what they want the child to do. Agree. Agree in private and then implement together. Remember what we said. Mom's the manager. She cares for the children. The father is the discipliner. It's his rules. Even if she gives the list. He agrees with it. All of these things are important. You will do all of these things. And there's all kinds of systems of rewards. And, but all the reward they really need is just to be loved. To get have your attention, your praise. That's all they need for a reward. You don't have to have very elaborate point and red stars and blue stars and black stars and pluses and minuses, and just love unconditionally. Be with them. Love to be with them. And they will know what their value is. And that's their great reward. Just being with you when you are happy with them. And this is where most parents make a mistake, because they ignore their children until their children do something wrong. And what they're teaching the child to do is to gain attention through negative input. It's sad to say, but children need attention so badly that they'd rather get negative attention than none. And if you give them positive attention, praise and lots of touch, lots of hugging, lots of it. Someone said, well, I don't want to pick up my child because he's going to get used to it. He's going to expect it all the time. You know, don't worry. When he's 15, he's not going to jump up into your arms. You know? He's young. Just love him and love him and love him and love him. Don't have to worry about giving too much, because they're going to miss it when you're not happy with them. And I did the old, when my kids did something and it really was not right, I was cold. And they missed it. They missed the relationship. And they came and said, Dad, I'm sorry, that was wrong. Just because of relationship. And that's the spiritual part. That's the spiritual part. And it makes breaking their will very easy. Because they are waiting for it. They want to have their will broken. Because they love acceptance. But if it's the opposite, they don't get any acceptance unless they do something wrong, and then they get spanked or something, then you will have a hard time. Because getting in trouble is their only way to get attention. Say, gee, my son has a very strong will. I can't seem to break it. And maybe it's because he's using his will to get attention. Because, well, a spanking's better than nothing. Oh, that's so sad. Okay, I do have a beautiful handout here I want to give everybody. I have some lists. The first, and these are very interesting. Okay, I'd like for Zuzi, if you could help me out. Wait, are there English here too? Okay, I have some English. Well, we got enough, I think. We got some. Okay, here's the English. Here, Mina, you could pass this out. Very, very good lists. And I just want you to think about your own childhood. Think about your own marriage, your own family. And these lists are very revealing. This is what a professional counselor would be filling out if you came into his office and you had problems. He would ask you these questions. And it's really, really good stuff. So, I would like you to read through them, and if you have questions, we can do the next class. We can look at this list. If you don't understand something or don't... Okay. So please enjoy looking through this. And Rita really liked it. And very revealing. It strips you naked, really. It's like, oh my gosh, I'm in trouble. But this is good for us, because it's for our own sakes. Okay, so Lord, thank you for our children and for a will that can be submitted to your will. And David said, it is my delight to do your will, O Lord. And it's a delight for our children to do our will because of spirituality, edification, the finished work, the blood of Christ, that sin is not the issue, but it's love and a purpose that comes from the Holy Spirit. Thank you for the Word of God that is our parental guide. It tells us all about these subjects. Protect us as we go, and protect our people on the roads tonight, especially those who are driving. Give us wisdom, and thank you for this class. In Christ's name. Amen.
What was Brian like?